Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the Step Up for Students organization. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Step Up for Students is a state-approved nonprofit scholarship funding organization. It administers two scholarships, one for low-income families and the other for children with special needs, in an attempt to provide equal educational opportunity to all. Parents are empowered to obtain the most appropriate learning options for their children. The emphasis is on families who lack financial resources to access the options. Joining me via phone from Jacksonville, Florida, I welcome Stephanie Love. Stephanie is the manager of community outreach for Step Up for Students organization. Stephanie, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Holyfield. I am happy to be with you all and share information about Step Up for Students and the scholarships that we administer for children.
Well, I am very pleased to have you, and I was glad to meet you at the Teen Summit, you know, because there are a lot of organizations and services and resources out there that individuals and families are just not aware of. So I always welcome the opportunity to share information about a resource that's available in Florida. What is Step Up for Students? I mean, can you kind of give us an overview of what it is?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Step Up for Students is a state-approved nonprofit organization that administers two different scholarship programs throughout the state of Florida for children. The two scholarship programs are the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship, which is for children who come from families with lower income, and then we also administer the Gardner Scholarship for children with certain special needs.
Excuse me for interrupting. I just wanted to ask you, just for clarification for those listening. Now, when you say state-approved, nonprofit scholarship, what does that mean?
That means that we are a nonprofit organization that is in the business of administering scholarships for children. We're a scholarship funding organization.
Okay. That the state has endorsed and has said, okay, you've got my okay on this, right?
Right. We have completed the necessary paperwork to become a nonprofit organization in the state of Florida.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as looking at the scholarships, I'm aware that they're two different types, but where does this funding come from?
Okay. For the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program, the funding comes from corporate donations.
Okay.
So we receive funding from various corporations. And the Gardner Scholarship is funded by the state of Florida.
Okay. All right. So with it being a nonprofit, then I would guess that if someone listening and wanted to participate or contribute, that you would take donations. Is that understood? Okay. So that's correct. How would one contact you to donate or participate in the program?
Okay. For either group, if there's someone mm-hmm. who wants to donate to the organization, or if there is a family that would like to apply for the scholarship, mm-hmm. they all can go to our website at www.stepup4students.org, and the four is spelled out, F-O-R, okay. students with the S on the end, .org, and we have landing pages on our website that take parents or individuals interested in donating to the appropriate pages that they're interested in.
Okay. As we look at Step Up for Students, can you share what was the impetus for its whole creation? How did it evolve? Tell us about its existence.
Oh, okay. We've been in existence for 15 years now, and Step Up for Students was created to empower parents to pick the best learning environment for their child. So we provide options for parents.
Okay. And when you say empower the parent, what exactly does that mean? Because it could be somewhat confusing in that we're talking about parents of students K through 12, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how does it empower them?
Okay. So let's start with the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship.
Wait a minute. Before that, what I'm trying to get a feel for is how is it different? How does it give them significant more control than what they would have if they were just going to their regular public school?
We just provide an option for the parents,
okay.
whether it be the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program
mm-hmm.
or if it is the Gardner Scholarship Program. So parents can look at their options, whether it's their local public school or one of the scholarships that we may offer, and pick which one is best for their particular child. And that child's learning needs.
Okay. All right. As we look at that, and we'll get more into detail about it, where are you all based? I mean, is it in Jacksonville? Because I know you're in Jacksonville. I mean, is that the location?
We have a location in Jacksonville, and we have one in Clearwater.
Okay. All right. Now, these services, What are they saying? I mean, and I know you've probably heard this, so I wanted to give you an opportunity at least to address this, and we can move on. When you say to provide options for parents with kids who are in public schools, is that an indictment of the public schools that they are not providing these options, or is this just a supplement, I mean, to what is being provided?
It's a supplement to what is already being provided, because with the Florida Tax Scholarship Program, parents have the option of either using funding towards tuition and fees at a private school, or they can use it to send their child to a public school in a different district from where they're assigned.
Okay.
So it absolutely is not an indictment on public school, because if that's what's working best for the child, that's mm-hmm. the best learning environment for that child, they should stay there.
Okay. So
yeah.
And I just wanted people to hear that. I think that that's important, because it could give the message that you're saying, okay, the public schools aren't doing their job, and so we're here to, you know, take up the slack. And so what I'm hearing from you is the purpose of the organization is basically to really provide a quality education to all, no matter what their needs are, whether the needs are financial or whether the needs are specific programming to enhance the special needs child.
Yes,
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we're on the same page. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. And when we say most appropriate options, are you dealing with, how do you determine what are the most appropriate options? I mean, are you dealing with it?
The parent's decision to pick.
Okay.
You know, so the parent picks what's best for their child, and they, if they decide that one of the scholarships that we administer is best for their child, then they go through the application process and pick the school and all of that themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, we don't make those decisions for the parent.
Okay. Now, does the parent have the, and I guess they do, at least theoretically, have the option of getting professional advice concerning this, because although parents, you know, their parents, they may not know, actually, they might think, but they may not know what the best options are available. By that, I mean, do they work with IEPs? I mean, how do, well, IEP would be appropriate for those who are in special services, special ed, but how do they determine? I mean, is it just something that the parent says, well, I think I want this, and so then they apply?
Well, that may be, and then they may learn of the Gardner Scholarship through an organization that is providing services to their child, where it may be, let's say, for example, a parent is receiving therapy and other services for their child through Early Steps, or the child has been evaluated through a doctor's office or whatever, and then they find out about the Gardner Scholarship as an an option that they could explore.
Okay. So there has been some kind of formal assessment involved here.
Right, because for children that qualify for the Gardner Scholarship, they have some type of diagnosis, whether it's a developmental disability or something else on the specific list that qualifies.
Okay. That's very helpful, because I think for those who are listening, you know, that I would want them to have a real clear understanding of what, you know, the program is about and how they access these this various financial support to pursue it. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, we're talking about the Step Up for Students program. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. Step Up for Students administers two scholarships programs for Florida's school children. We're going to look at them now. Let's look at the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program. This program, as I understand it, is for low-income families. Joining me via phone, I am talking to Stephanie Love, and she works with the Step Up for Students program. Stephanie is the manager of the outreach program. Stephanie, how many children have you all served? And I know that's probably a huge number.
Yeah, this year we had over 100,000 students using the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program throughout the state of Florida, and they are participating in over 1,700 different schools.
Wow, that's impressive. Now, this program was created to benefit children who, you know, educational options may be limited by the household income. Therefore, I guess we would be targeting probably the most disadvantaged with the fewest options, right?
Or, you know, children that are, like, most, on average, most of our students are the ones who are not performing as well as they could, and so the parent is looking for other options to help them to achieve academically.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. What are the demographics of the recipients of your scholarship? When we look at the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship, what does a student look like?
A third of them are children that are in a are of Hispanic makeup, mm-hmm. and then another 20-some-odd percent are African-American, and then the rest are Caucasian or other racial makeup. The average household of our families is a family that makes less than $26,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and half of them are single-parent homes.
Okay. And the grades, again, cover K through 12.
Yes, ma'am, K through 12.
Okay. How does one apply for the program?
Oh, okay. So they will go on our website at www.stepup4,
mm-hmm.
students, with the S on the end, .org, and they would complete the application online, and they have the option of either faxing us their supportive documents or uploading them directly from their computer to their application. Then we also have a customer service department.
Great.
That is able to assist parents in English, Spanish, and Creole. So if they need assistance through the application process or have general questions, they can call the customer service department at 877-735-7837.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that the families had to have an income less than $26,000. A year. Now, what about the family composition? 26,000 is for what? How many? A family of four, a family of two?
Almost a family of four. Yeah.
Okay. A family of four. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in applying, I recognize that there are documents that the parents must be able to present. Would you share with us what those documents are, just so that those who may be listening may be interested, you know, so they could have a heads up on what they may need to gather to apply for this program.
Right. Mm-hmm. So parents would submit documents regarding the household composition, you know, how many people mm-hmm. are in the household, their financial documents to demonstrate, you know, how much they make on a month,
mm-hmm.
monthly basis, and then they would also submit documents to verify that they are Florida residents. And there are a variety of documents that they can submit to demonstrate these things and answer these questions. And so when a parent goes through the application, and depending on how they answer the questions, they will receive a customized list of what documents we would need from them. So what one household may need may be different from another mm-hmm. household. But generally speaking, we're just trying to make sure that they're, in fact, Florida residents, what their household income is, and what the composition of the household is, and the grades of the children that they are applying for.
Now, you mentioned this particular program is for household with low income. What mm-hmm. type of support do you offer or do you suggest they use? Because they may not have access to a computer. Now, can they call customer service?
Great question.
Okay.
Yes, great question. We have great relationships with libraries throughout the state of Florida, as well as Access and SNAP offices. So parents may go there where they can use the computers to complete their online application. And also, too, sometimes your school may have computer labs that you can go and use, but a lot of parents do take advantage of the libraries and community resource centers in their area.
Well, I applaud you in that, because I know programs that I have interviewed or featured, when we get down to the nitty-gritty, there may be some, of course, hiccups there. And access is often an issue when you're dealing with you know, disadvantaged, low-income milieu, individuals who are from those environments. To hear that you have an avenue that they can access, a free, open, easy to reach avenue, I applaud you on that.
Thank you, thank you. We're grateful for our community partners that are willing to assist families in any way possible. You know, if it weren't for parents, you know, letting us know, you know, hey, I want to apply, but I don't have access to a computer. Do you have any suggestions? Mm-hmm. You know, we would not have known that the issue existed and could reach out on their behalf and develop relationships with community partners that are willing to allow them to use the computers and whatnot. So that's a great thing. It's a collaborative effort.
Well, one of the requirements I know, of course, is that they are Florida residents. What about the individuals who may be homeless? Are those students who may be homeless? Are those students who may be in foster care? Are those students who may be, you know, DACA? Are they? Let's talk about each one of those populations. What about the homeless student? How do they access this?
Great question. If they can provide us with documentation that shows that maybe they're living in a shelter or transitional home, an administrator of that shelter or that home can provide us with proof that the family or, you know, the child is living there. Or if the school, if they can get a letter from their school district saying that, you know, this child is homeless, then yes, absolutely, we can certainly work with that. And then children that are in foster care, if we have placement documentation as well as proof that the individual that they are with, whether it be a caregiver, out-of-home situation, or group home, if that setup or that circumstance can demonstrate that they also have license to be a foster care individual or facility, then we can certainly work with that too.
Okay. And I know it's somewhat a moot issue at this point, but what about the Dreamers or the DACA students who may indeed need and qualify? I guess they may be considered Florida residents. I'm not.
Yes. I'm pretty sure they have something that demonstrates that they are a Florida resident. And we do work with DCF Refugee Services Department to assist those families as well.
Great. Can these scholarships, and because some of them indeed may be in a transient situation, and may move from one district to another depending upon their parents, you know, employment or residence or whatever may be the case, can these scholarships be transferred?
Yes. The good thing about the scholarship is that it follows the child and not the school. Let's say if a child is in school A for a period of time, and like you said, the family then subsequently moves someplace else where it's just not feasible for the child to continue at that school. They can contact us about transferring to another participating school, and then their remaining scholarship dollars can be used at school B.
Okay. Now, as they transfer, when we're talking about the different schools, is any school eligible? How does one identify the schools that are eligible?
Oh, great question. On our website, we have a database where parents can search for participating schools by county, zip code, or city, because every school is not eligible to participate. There are only certain schools that participate, and they have to be deemed eligible to participate by the Department of Education.
Do you know, can you share some of the requirements that is tied to the eligibility? Just so we would have a distinction between those that are eligible and those aren't. I mean, what are, you know, what's the difference? How do you...
That is a good question, and I'm not well-versed in DOE's requirements for the schools to participate. I know they have to pass some type of inspection, and there are some requirements as it relates to the teachers and whatnot, but I am not sure.
Okay.
But you know, the DOE does have those requirements on their website.
Okay. As we look at the application process, generally, and I'm sure it probably is on an individual basis and when everything is received, all of the necessary documentation, on the average, if you can share that, how long is the application process?
4 to 6 weeks. Once parents have submitted all of their required documents and everything, it generally takes 4 to 6 weeks. And I am really proud of the strides our IT department and operations department has taken to really work diligently in improving the system that is used to process our applications and try to get answers to parents as quickly as they possibly can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a timeline or deadlines that parents who may be listening now may want to be aware of? I mean, you're saying 4 to 6 weeks. Where are we right now?
Right now, our renewal families are applying for the 18-19 school year. And then sometime early next year, between February and March, we will open up to receive applications from new families. And if parents are interested in applying and they're new to the scholarship program, they can, what they can do is they can go on our website and join our interest list for 18-19 school year, and they will receive a notification of when we open.
Okay. How much financial assistance is awarded per student? When we're looking at the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship, and you know, when we'll take a break in a couple of minutes, and then we can come back and look at the Gardner Scholarship. But with the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship, how much financial assistance is awarded per student?
Okay, so now we are able to award students on a tiered approach basis. Because, as you know, the higher children go into their grade levels, the more expensive it costs to educate them. So for this school year that's going on right now, children in kindergarten through fifth grade received a maximum of $6,354. Children in grade 6 through 8 received $6,643,000. And then children in grades 9 through 12 received up to $6,931.
Okay. Now, does this always cover everything? I mean, because I would think if they're low income, they certainly can't supplement what they receive.
Right. Great point. For some schools, it does, and then there are some schools where it does not, and then where it does not, they may work with the parents to cover the difference, or they may have other avenues of financial aid to help cover that difference.
So, and a difference to, and when you're looking at the grade, we know that the grade influences the amount. Is there anything else that influences the award that they receive?
Income levels, because you may have a family who, based on their income, may qualify for 100% award, then another family may qualify for 75 or 50
okay.
or some other percentage in between there.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I'm talking with Stephanie Love, who is sharing information with the Step Up for Students program. We're going to take a break, but when we return, we'll be talking about the Gardner Scholarship Program. This program assists parents with students who have certain special needs. Right after the break.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Step Up for Students is a scholarship program of Florida. It's a nonprofit program for students, and it offers two different types of scholarships, one for those who may come from low-income families, and the other for children with special needs. This is in an attempt to provide equal educational opportunities for all. The program empowers parents, and they can, in turn, obtain the most appropriate learning options for their children. Stephanie, can we look at the Gardner program? When we talk about the Gardner program, that is the one that assists parents with whose students have certain special needs. It's described as a different kind of scholarship. And I guess my first question is, how does it differ from other scholarship programs of this type?
Oh, that's a great question. That's like the multi-million dollar question.
Okay.
I tell parents all the time, I wish I had a dollar for every time I get that question. I could fund an additional 100 children.
Wow, that's fantastic.
But it's different in the sense that parents can pick how they want to use the scholarship dollars. Now, first off, a child that is using the Gardner Scholarship is either enrolled in private school or they are being homeschooled. And so the parent can pick whether or not they want to use the dollars for tuition and fees at a private school, or if they're homeschooling, they can use it to purchase curriculum and whatnot. But parents also have the option of using the dollars for therapy services such as behavioral, speech and language, occupational, physical therapies, They can use it for tutoring, purchase educational materials, okay. assistive technology, equipment such as like a computer or tablet. It can be used for transition services for like youth that are in need of help with writing a resume, job coaching, and whatnot.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's like a whole host. There's like a list of like 21 different categories where a parent can use, of ways that parents can use the dollars.
Now, are there particular special needs children who may not meet the criteria? And I say that because it lists, it says certain special needs. So I want to get you to clarify the certain special needs. What do you mean by certain special needs?
Yes, there is a very specific list of diagnoses that qualify for the Gardner Scholarship. For example, you know, a child that has anaphylaxis, a child that is on the spectrum for autism, has muscular dystrophy, cerebral palsy, a child that is deaf, dual sensory impaired, has Down syndrome, is hospital homebound, or has Phelan-McDermid syndrome, Prader-Willi syndrome, a child that has a rare disease, one that has spina bifida or a traumatic brain injury, a child that is visually impaired, has Williams syndrome, or a intellectual disability whereby the child has an IQ of 70 or below, or a child between the ages of 3 and 5 who has been deemed high risk due to developmental delays. So it's pretty specific.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing that because I ask because often, you know, when you look at the district, you would think that with a special needs child that they have already been through an IEP and assessed. So that's why I'm asking because what I'm hearing is it provides a supplement. It could just be a supplement to the public school. I mean, they could be in placement in the public school, and this scholarship can even give them more assistance, correct?
Yes, as long as the child is enrolled in a private school or being homeschooled.
Okay, so either way. Okay. So and then as long as they're there, then they can get therapists if therapists are indicated or curriculum technology, and I think I read online they could even get college savings if indicated, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
How does that work?
What they can do is work with the Florida prepaid college fund organization, and they can receive help with setting up the account, and they can use a portion of their scholarship dollars to go into that account.
This is just fantastic. I mean, it just sounds too good to be true. People must not be. Parents probably are not aware of this. They probably are not aware that, you know, this particular resource is out there.
Mm-hmm. So we are working very hard to get the word out there. And we're fortunate that every year since it's been in existence in 2014, that the scholarship program continues to grow.
Okay, so you haven't been around a long time.
No, yeah, the Gardner has not been around a long time, so it's still relatively new. And like you said, the ratio of parents that know that it exists is not as large as we would like.
Mm-hmm. Where does its funding come from? It all comes from the state, right, is what you had said earlier?
Right. Mm-hmm. The Gardner Scholarship is funded by the state of Florida.
Okay, and then looking at the funding, now does this also vary according to the grade and according to the county of residence and according to probably, I would think, the needs of the children themselves? Because depending upon the disability and the severity, that is going to influence the supplement that they need. How is that determined?
Right. So, on average, the scholarship amount is around $10,000, and then children that have a higher matrix score because of having more severe disabilities, they can qualify for more.
Okay. So it's just the application process. Let's go through that. What is the application process involved?
So that one is completed online as well through our website at stepupforstudents.org. So it's like when a parent goes on our website, they pick which scholarship program they're interested in applying for.
Okay. All right. Again, share the complete address and telephone number and all of that with the listening audience.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely. So our website address is www.stepup4, that's F-O-R, students, with an S on the end, .org. And then our phone number is 877-735-7837, and parents can speak to a customer service rep in English, Spanish, and Creole.
Okay. As we look at the Gardner Scholarship, what is available for parents themselves? Because parents of special needs children may need assistance just in education or in coping with their students, just even behavioral training within the home. So can you share, what's available there for students, for the parents of the students, and do they access it the same way? Do they have to make an additional application if it's really for the student and it's not, it's really for them and not exactly for the student? Of course, the student would benefit by the education that the parent receives.
Right. So right now with the Gardner, every dollar that is spent towards the child.
Okay.
So if the parent is looking for therapy services and other supportive assistance, it's specifically for the child.
Okay. You may not have this, but are there resources that parents may access for what I would call wraparound services? Because
Oh, that's another great thing I love about our community partners.
Okay.
Many of them provide webinars for parents. Some of them provide support groups that parents can participate in, or they may provide consultation services and whatnot, or host conferences where parents can come and learn about, how to be of assistance to their child that has a specific diagnosis or has special needs, and how to access resources that are available to them in a community.
Well, that would be ideal right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because what you find is, often maybe parental expectations may not be appropriate. Often maybe the information that they know about the particular disability that the child has, you know, may not be completely accurate. And that, so that's what I was trying to ask before, you know, what kind of resources can the parents access? Because I would think they've got to have, you know, appropriate education also. If you're sending this child away to school and he comes back or she comes back, but they come into that environment and the environment isn't being treated or the parent isn't being educated, that can be a problem too.
Yeah, we're fortunate in Florida that you do have organizations that help parents better understand their child's diagnoses mm-hmm. and what resources are available to them. And then the parent can go from there being empowered to pick, you know, what supportive services would best benefit their child now that they've been armed with this information. Mm-hmm. And then also, too, being able to connect with other parents who have children with the same diagnosis. Sometimes just having that support from other parents is a tremendous benefit.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it is. Because it helps them to appreciate that they're not the only ones. Sometimes when parents have special needs children, feel like they are alone and woe is me. And when you have that group, we all have a common interest in that group, and there's a common denominator. That common denominator is the special need of your child. Mm-hmm. That's really very reinforcing and supportive for the parent.
It really is, and lets them know not only are they alone, not only are they not alone, mm-hmm. but that their child can achieve.
Right. Indeed.
Because, you know, when they're meeting other parents and finding out that, you know, with the right learning environment and with the right supportive services, your child can thrive and become independent.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they need to know. That's the kind of support and the resource that they need. You've mentioned.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned community partners a lot. Can you just elaborate a little bit on the community partners, who they are? Who knows? Someone, again, may be listening to the program and might think, wow, I would love to.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So let me preface this before I go through the list.
Okay.
To my head and not my heart. We have literally thousands of community partners that we work with, but our larger ones are like DCF, DJJ, CARD.
Let me interrupt you, and
sure.
Because I'm very much familiar with the acronyms, but those who are listening may not be. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, Department of Children and Families, Florida Department of Juvenile Justice. The various centers for autism and related disabilities, Early Steps, the Office of Early Learning and the various early learning coalitions throughout Florida, United Way, gosh, there's so many.
Are the universities at all involved? The university.
Yes.
Okay.
Through the Centers of Autism and Related Disabilities, all of them are affiliated with a university. So, University of Florida, University of South Florida, University of Central Florida, Southeastern, Nova, Florida Atlantic University, Florida State University. All of those are work with us through the Centers for Autism and Related Disabilities. Also, some of them have speech and language and other therapy centers that serve our parents as well. We also work with Family Network on Disabilities and some of their partners like Parent to Parent. Let's see. We work with Family Cafe. They host a huge conference every June in Orlando, I encourage all parents that have children with any kind of disability to go to that conference. It's free for parents to attend, and they literally get to learn about thousands of resources that are available to them and go to workshops to learn more about various diagnoses and resources that are out there.
Well, Stephanie, we are out of time, and I again would like to extend my sincere appreciation to you, Stephanie Love, Manager of Outreach for Step Up for Students, a state of Florida approved nonprofit scholarship program funding that helps two types of students, students who may be from low income and students who may have disability. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place. Get the 411 on 411 Teen. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.